So yeah, thanks so much, Eddie, for talking to us. It's really great to be in this show. How was last night? Did you have a good was it a good like collection of people? And
there were a lot of people here. It was hot. It's not really my specialty, so I was mostly downstairs or outside, but I did a little time in here.
Yeah, but I imagine the reception to the work was pretty positive. It's like
Yeah. There's a lot of kids, which is fun.
Oh, that's fun. And I just wanted to talk about the title Cowboy Town. It's something that some people might say is an accurate description of the current situation in the USA. And I just wonder what the feeling was in your community at the moment.
Everyone in New York is devastated. It's just like nonstop. It sucks really bad. I mean, at least the onslaught of executive orders has chilled out and, you know, every morning you're not waking up to a total disaster, but it's really upsetting.
And what do you think is the kind of creative currency of artists in New York or in the States to be kind of responding to and articulating?
I think there's a lot of resistance for sure. I think a lot of people are reacting in whatever ways they think are suitable. My wife and I did a fundraiser where we raised, it was an art-based fundraiser where we raised $11,000 for ACLU, and then they matched it. It was when they were matching it. You know, everybody's just trying to do something because to not do anything feels crazy. The title is just whatever people take from it. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not a very political person, but I'm definitely unhappy with what's going on.
Yeah.
And it just feels like a bunch of swinging dicks running around shooting things. And there's a song by my favorite reggae group, it's called Cowboy Town, and it's just like, they're just describing that kind of thing. Like, do you remember when it used to be a war zone, Cowboy Town, just kind of like, you know, bandits coming in and shaking everything up?
And when did you start working on this body of work? Or was there a...
That one I finished in 2016, so that's the oldest one. I think I started that probably... I know I started that last, like, September.
And the work behind us, Remember When We Were in Safe Hands?
Yeah. Because afterwards, the after effect that kind of looked like Obama to me holding the world, it wasn't intentional, and I wouldn't claim that that's my portrait of Obama, but it just felt appropriate.
Yeah, and this, when I was first looking at this work, for some reason, for me, this looked a bit like the Mona Lisa, like somehow in the bottom right, and then like a wing. It's really, you know, when you sort of just look at a painting and it says something to you and you're not quite sure why.
Yeah.
I think it's like her eye or something.
I see a Mona Lisa, kind of.
And what's your, could you tell us a bit about your process? Because I know that you talk a bit about having started out in your kind of 20s doing a lot of graffiti work and kind of, I know you still use kind of spray paint in your work at the moment, but kind of that process of shifting from maybe kind of working on the streets or on the kind of the canvas being the wall to working onto paintings. What's your process like now?
Well, I feel like that's two different things. And I don't want to talk about the graffiti part, but the process of making the paintings.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, I started employing silk screen. So like, I'm always drawing, making little drawings at home. And for the last decade, my main interest has been how to make large paintings feel like drawings. Mm. Not look like them, like you know, not like Amorikami fleshed out by 100 people, but feel like them. And so I decided to start blowing them up and silkscreening them onto canvas. That's not, it's actually half of this show is done that way. It's actually this half. That was originally a vertical silkscreen mandala, but you can kind of see a circle in there, but it didn't work out. But I wanted to really capture the speed and immediacy of a marker drawing, you know, get that line. So I just started blowing them up and then putting them down. So then it comes to the studio and it's basically just like a piece of paper with a drawing on it. And then you stretch it and go from there. And sometimes it gets completely obliterated. And sometimes it's, you know, I feel like that mandala painting is probably the one where it's the most colored in within the lines. And again, I don't do it with every painting, but it is really fun to just like, I get super giddy when they come in, you know, because they come in and there's just like five big coloring book pages. And so I stretch them and just go to work. And that's been a lot of fun. And that informs other parts of the process. And then I feel like, oh, this is too easy. So then I'll paint over it. This was that and those other elements up top left were one, meant to be one painting, but it got stretched too small, so I cut it up and collaged it and pasted it on here, and it worked out.
And is that kind of like the first step in the process of abstraction for you, in so much as the kind of making the drawing and then it kind of is something for you? Is there anything that shifts in that process of scale, like it's suddenly kind of becoming,
oh, like it,
like does
becomes the, because of the scale it becomes abstract?
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying, but I don't think that applies really, because it's not like it's a tight drawing and then I'm relying on the scale to make it something that it's not. I know what it's going to be. It's just going to be bigger. So if it's a drawing that's more abstracted, it'll just retain that and vice versa.
And do you, like you were saying with this one that was kind of stretched too small, and then do you often kind of change the scale of the paintings? Like, or are you quite rigid in knowing that, like, yep, yeah, this one is going to be this big, or?
No, I'll change it. Like, for instance, that painting, it's the same height as the one on the right, and it was also the same width. But so there was an extra foot of white on the left of that, and it just wasn't working. And so after a couple months of not wanting to scrap it because I felt like the painting had a lot of potential, I just got new stretcher bars and cut it down and restretched it, and it worked out beautifully. Yeah, there's no, I don't really follow any kind of rigid rule system at all.
How significant is it for you, the narrative in the work? Like the, obviously that there's moments of kind of figurative gesture, like for instance, here we were talking about Obama, and that sort of like sets perhaps a particular narrative about the piece. But is that important for you, like in some of the other works, that people kind of read some narrative in it?
No, I don't want anyone to feel obligated to think anything. I don't have anything particular I'm interested in saying. I want it to be all interpreted. That said, I think there obviously is like something going on here. I think the only narrative would be that this is how I communicate best. So that's kind of the extent of what I'm willing to, I put everything into them so I don't have to talk about them and I don't want to tell a story. You know, I don't deny that they feel like there's a narrative and that's cool, and I just want people to interpret that however they want.
And is there something that you'd kind of want an audience in London to leave with in seeing this show, that's kind of come from being made in the States at the moment? And
No, I don't. I think that there's plenty of opportunity for that. And I think I've been, I mean, you know, with the titles and the title of the show, it's all there. I'm not, it's basically just one person processing life, and current events, of course, are taking place in there. And this is my interpretation of what this amount of time has been like and how it's come out of me artistically. And other than that, I just don't want to force anything.
Yeah. And I was really interested in, because you talk about like music as being a part of your process, or like it's part of everyone's kind of life, isn't it? Music and the kind of soundtracks of that. And I just wondered, like, if in your studio or whilst you're working, you do you kind of collect and collate imagery relating to the kind of the kind of political climate, or are you kind of much more kind of sound-based than that?
I mean, I read.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't collect imagery to fuel, not specific imagery like that. I think, honestly, mostly I just reference my own imagery.
And I was interested in where you kind of position yourself in the kind of history of painters, and particularly kind of post-war abstraction, and that, where you feel kind of located in that.
Well, it's impossible to be positioned within it. I'm just like anyone else. I'm just a after effect, and it's what one of the movements that's influenced me most and what I most relate to.
Are there any artists from that time that you were particularly kind of influenced by in shifting, you know, in your practice, or?
Well, you know, the Abex, all the Abex people, women too, not just the men. I think that's really short-sighted, that it's seen mostly as a masculine thing. I mean, that's what they were, but there were also women doing the exact same thing and just as good. So whatever, that's a battle for other people to. I guess to answer that, the specificity of that question, I would say like de Kooning and Gustin, because they went back and forth. De Kooning never went back to figurative. No, that's not true. He did. No, so those guys. That's what I'm most interested in, not pigeonholing anything. I don't want to make any rules. I mean, I'm the kind of painter I am, and influenced by what I'm influenced by, so I'm never going to make a solid black square and call it abstraction. That's like what I think is abstraction.
And what's the point for you of knowing when a work's kind of finished, or do you kind of work on multiple pieces at the same time and then?
Yeah, I work on it a lot at the same time. I think largely it's finished if I think that there's nothing else I could do to improve it. And then even a step further is, if I do anything else, do I risk fucking it up? And there's no point. If there's really nothing else that can be done and I like it and I'm happy with it, then it's done.
And do you tend to kind of, because I just imagine the process of working on them as being pretty intensive, like you saying, you kind of give your all to these,
yeah,
to the process. Do you kind of punctuate it with like kind of going out from, like leaving them and, you know, kind of going and doing something else and kind of coming back, in terms of like music or film or like just going for a walk, or like is there?
No, not anymore. I have much more.
Are you pretty kind of like in them?
I'm much calmer now. I don't really have any of that stuff going on. I don't even really listen to music in there anymore. But I guess it's more the contrary, that I continue I take them out of the studio and just think about them all night and look at them on my phone. And then in the morning, I look at them on my phone. And then I'll make printouts of them, stuff like that. But it's never a thing where I feel, not anymore, where I feel overwhelmed and need to get out of the studio. Sometimes I just want to, but I don't feel forced out by the intensity of the paintings or anything.
Well, you're in a super nice spot with being able to go to the park. I used to.
Well, that's my house.
Oh, is it house? Okay,
yeah, my studio is in Shitville, Bushwick.
Okay.
But that's
Bushwick fine. Has some good coffee. I had quite.
Yeah, they do have good coffee.
Quite another good coffee when I was there.
They have good coffee.
But yeah, no park. It's pretty industrial, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the relationship between your paintings and your kind of sculptural work? Do they...
Just a different way of expressing the same thoughts and feelings. And obviously, they're different things, but I think the biggest difference is that painting happens all the time and sculpture is a more deliberate thing where I'll block out time because you have to get everything out and kind of, you know... It's really, I mean, my studio is big enough at this point where I wouldn't have to do that, but that's just kind of how I taught myself to do it, is that I'll block off like some time. And I can still have the paintings up and stuff, but I guess I'm not really at the point, I can walk in and make a mark on a painting and walk away, but if I try to do something where I'm trying to, you know, it's all balanced and then you have to affix it and then you have to hold it and you have to clamp it, and so it's just a different thing.
And does kind of one tend to follow the other, or is the process of kind of, is it just kind of responsive to?
Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely influence each other too. Like, I have bronzes out in the studio right now that I'm painting, and so I'll pull a color from a painting that I'm particularly excited about and apply it to a bronze. I mean, it's not like I then staple a bronze to a canvas, but you know, I make drawings of the bronzes too, so then it's like self-cannibalism.
And do you ever work on a painting and feel like it's not or a sculpture even, and feel like it's like somehow the form doesn't fit what you're wanting it to do, and then it kind of is translated into either becoming a painting or then becoming a sculpture? Or is it less linear than that?
Doesn't happen.
And do you tend to show kind of separately, or do you?
No, I do both. But we just did a huge presentation at Freeze in October of sculptures. So I just wanted to hang paintings, have a simple painting hang.
Yeah.
But sometimes the first show I did here 3 years ago was painting, sculpture, and drawing. But you know, you get older and you start to feel like you don't have to prove yourself every time you have an exhibition, you know, pull all the tricks out and shit. Sometimes you just want to hang some pictures on the wall. So that's what I did here. I'm very happy with it, actually. Very happy with the hang.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.